You're listening to 107.9 FM out of Burlington, Ontario, Canada. Now Energy 108 takes you back in time to pay tribute to Norman B.
Sounds of Burlington, Stereo 108
Media. Hi, I'm Bill Nagy, a listener of 108 FM. I'm sitting here with Mark Panopoulos at the board, and we're reminiscing and thinking and enjoying the memories of a long and illustrious career of a rather famous DJ who spent many a year at this particular station. He was our friend for many years, and I'm sure all the listeners out there's friend on the air. That man was the great Norman B.
Don't touch that dial.
Oh yeah!
Rather difficult to try and pull together this long and renowned career and encapsulate it. What Mark and I, Mark Panopoulos from Energy 108, will try to do is to try and highlight this illustrious career. I first heard Norm on the radio in 1971. I had been going up and down the dial trying to find something that tweaked my interest when I heard this gentleman talking on the radio. He was talking about some obscure blues artist that probably most of us didn't know anything about, but he was so interesting. He was so knowledgeable. He sounded very intelligent. So I really got interested in what he was saying. And I continued to listen throughout that evening. The following evening, I tuned in again and found myself almost addicted to this particular radio station, a station I had really never listened to that much, even though I was from Welland. He was very intelligent, very knowledgeable, and an amazing recall. His sorting of facts, his on-air interviews, really blew my mind. So what we'd like to do is really not lament the passing of this great gentleman, but savor the memories, enjoy the times and happy moments he brought to us on air.
Ready. What's happening, man?
Will you go?
Somebody help? Hey, come on.
Go.
What's going on? I'm ready. Come on, I want to lay it on him.
Well, I'm ready. I'm willing.
Come on, baby, let the good time roll. Come on, baby, let me thrill your soul. Come on, baby, let the good time roll.
Brought a lot of joy and magic to thousands of people by giving us a big piece of what excited him and made him happy. He was a man who influenced our musical lives. He influenced the careers of those in radio that were just coming up at the time. He influenced a lot of local blues artists and Canadian artists in general. But he was also very, very influential in the blues circuit. The blues people who were really the men from the past, the guys who set the stage for the present. He was admired by these people. He was well respected. They took any opportunity to talk to him. Whenever they were in town or in this locale and Norm was around, they were available.
Feels so good when you're home.
Life.
tonight she'll know I'm a mighty, mighty man. I heard the news.
Going back to those days at Seahelm, they were truly glorious days for Norm. He pretty well freelanced. He was able to do whatever he wanted, and the station pretty well gave him a free hand. He played all the great music and really enjoyed doing the off-sites and the promotional things, and it was amazing. On any given night, just about anybody could call. One night in particular, Fats Domino had called up, and he and Norm did about 15 or 20 minutes of an interview live on air. We were very fortunate to be able to take part in something that was so unplanned and spontaneous. But as the days wore on at Seahow, it became most evident that they were getting ready for a format change. And I can vividly recall Norm's last night at CL. It was very emotional. It was very sad. It was sad for all of us in Welland who had been treated to this fantastic DJ who seemed to know how to play the records, what to play, and what to say.
Oh, so many people I've met in Welland, and I really enjoyed my time here. More than, I guess, any other time on radio, but well, we won't get into all that, I suppose, but we certainly enjoyed our stay here in Welland. So many highlights. Well, you remember the good times, and you're glad you did it the way you wanted to do it.
Norman B. for Metro Niagara.
I want to jump, but I'm afraid I'll fall. I got a rockin' pneumonia and a boogie, boogie, boogie. Yeah!
Through the course of the next 4 years or so, he and I maintained contact either through letters or phone calls or the odd time we'd meet halfway. Through that period of time, I was always running up and down the dial on the radio looking for interesting music or interesting people. And one evening, I stumbled on the station out of Burlington, and it was Sing 108. And they were playing oldies, some really obscure oldies, and had a format that seemed very, very loose. Something that I felt Norm would fit into very well because of his background and his ability on air. So I listened to this station for several months, and each time I talked to Norm, I'd tell him about this station and try and persuade him into getting some interest into it. He bumped into the program director shortly thereafter, and he became one of the personnel working at this station. It was several months after that that he became an on-air personality again.
Norman B. loved radio, and here's one of his favorite announcers, Dick Biondi.
And now, here we go, the Dick Biondi pick of the week. Hank Ballard of the Midnighters and Finger Poppin' Time.
Hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now, it's Finger Poppin' Time.
That's a real good sign.
Norm gave me a call one evening and said, "Hey man, I'm going to be on the air." Well, I know I was really excited, but I think he was more excited than I was. It was going to be great to listen to him again. I waited with great anticipation to that first night, May 1st, 1979. I was getting my 8-track cassette all set up so I could tape the show, and I was really, really excited. And I knew he was coming on at 10:30 because I was forewarned. As I was unwrapping the cassette, the promo for Norm comes on, and here it is, 10:29, and Norm is already talking, and I quickly rammed the old cassette into the 8-track and started to tape.
Be doing my thing on Sing. I haven't been in radio for 4 years. I was in radio for 11 years prior to that. I left radio because there was no place where one could play this music called rock and roll. But rock and roll has lasted longer than any music form in the 20th century. It will never die.
Rock, roll, rock, roll.
Never asked Norm how he got his name. I sort of took it for granted. But legend has it that King Curtis gave Norm his famous nickname, Norman B. After an interview with Norm one night at CKFH, Curtis paused to listen to the show on his car radio and was amazed at the scope of his music being played and by the breadth of Norm's musical knowledge. Talking to Norm later, Curtis compared the DJ to WLAC legend John Richburg. He suggested that Norm, like John R., use just his last initial on the air and become Norman B. Norm, who was awestruck by the compliment, started using the nickname on air from then on.
Norman B.
You're listening to Norman B. on FM 108.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Norman B.
Norman B.
Norman B.
It's the 108 Golden Grade. Norman B. is my name. We'll be here till midnight.
Hi, friends. This is Carl.
Don't step on my blue suede shoes, Perkins. I'd like to say howdy to you and welcome you to the show because you're listening to FM 108, and there are no better disc jockeys than this man, my friend, Mr. Norman B.
This is Bobby V, and you're listening to my good friend, Norman B., the king of rock and roll.
Rocking and rolling with Norman B. and Bobby V.
Well, hey, it's good to see you again, Herman.
Hey, it's great to have you in the studio for once.
Hello, folks. This is Ronnie Hawkins. You're listening to old Norman B., 108 FM. Keep a listen. He's going to tell you some stories before this program is over.
You're listening to the Norman B. Show. Norman B. swings so much that kids even dance to the moves.
Hi, this is Joe Shannon. You're listening to Norman B.
This is Ray Smith saying, Norman B. has got the show to beat. Listen to that man and you're gonna see that he's got the show that's gotta be.
Hi there, movers and groovers. I'd like you to meet the King Biscuit Boy.
Right on, right on, right on. I want you to know you're listening to the Norm Blakely Show. That's Norman B. He's laying down them sounds.
Ooh-wee!
Maybe he's got the ticket. Right on, right on.
Right on, man.
Okay, take four. Hi there, friends and neighbors. I'd like you to meet the King Biscuit Boy.
Right on. I want you to know you're listening to the Norman B. Show. He's laying down them sounds. Ooh, wee, baby. You got to dig it. Right on.
Oh, man. Woo-hoo.
The great Norman B.
Well, I got a gal that loves to fuss and fight.
My name is Mark Bonopoulos, and I've been a part of this radio station for 15 years, on air and mostly involved in operations. When I first tuned in as a listener in the fall of 1978, this station was simply known as Sing Stereo 108 FM. At that time, there certainly was a different sound happening, quite different than today's Energy 108's dance music, beautiful music throughout the day, and the difference continued at night. I heard the Golden Great Revival with Glenn Darling, Dave Terryberry, and later on throughout the early morning hours, Larry Smith. What a variety of sound, music that ran the gamut from the 50s to the early 60s. For me, it was quite a treat for a 14-year-old. I was tired of the day-to-day music sounds on radio. Another announcer with a high-pitched voice sang to the music. You could tell that the music felt good. Later, I learned he was a drummer in a band in the 1960s. The band was called the Rising Suns. His name on radio, Rockin' Robin. I suddenly had a craving for this music. Night after night, I tune in, and in the spring of 1979, a new announcer talked about the relationships of new music trends and old music trends, the resurgence of doo-wop, and rockabilly, of course. This was prevalent because of the death of Elvis Presley. I was captivated, and I taped Norman B. constantly. Somehow, I had to learn more about the music that Norm played. I was hooked. I'd phone in, and even though he was busy at the board, he put the receiver down, and I heard things happening behind the scenes. The music loud, the queuing up of records, and Norman enjoying what he was doing. At 15, I realized what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, be in radio. The following year, I had the pleasure of meeting Norm. It was at a record convention in Hamilton. He took time out to talk to me and had someone take our picture together. Right then, I knew this person would not only be someone I'd admire, but would also be a friend. With the departure of Glenn Darling and Dave Terryberry at this station, Norm became program director, and phone calls to him continued from myself.
His advice was to go to small market radio and learn the craft. After some experience at campus radio, Norm invited me to the station, and I felt privileged to watch announcers like Elwood Glover and Pat Murray. Norm later treated me to lunch, and after another few visits, I was able to watch Norm from behind the board. Our friendship grew, and Norm could tell where my interest was in radio. He dropped by Cops Collectible Records in Hamilton, and we'd talk about old rock and roll music for hours. I submitted a demo tape and a handwritten resume, and after a helpful critique, Norm let me be on the air. The winter of 1983. Soon I worked weekends and eventually operating syndicated shows. At Lulu's Roadhouse in Kitchener, I watched Norm conduct interviews. I met a lot of stars and Norm's best friend, Bill Nagy.
I remember Norm telling me a little story. There was a fella in Toronto who had called him and really was interested in meeting him. He had told Norm that when he lived in the Sioux, that he used to listen to Norm all the time. He never missed a show. And Norm really affected his life as far as music was concerned. He really got him into the doo-wop, the blues, the R&B, and the good old rock and roll. This gentleman went on at great length and said he had to meet Norm and had to get together for a coffee. And as Norm tells the story, hours later after he had finished the show, they got together, and much to his amazement, it turned out to be Paul Schaefer.
On many occasions, I enjoyed working on the John Lennon tributes with Norm and Richie York. Fran Roberts, the president of Elvis in Canada Fan Club, along with Wes Atkinson, would have Norm on as a guest while I was the operator. All the while, I watched the master at work. Later, as an operator of the Jim Paulson show, I had the chance to help out in programming, along with Norm, Junior Chung, then manager, Mike Ellsworth, and myself. We would discuss our changing format. At that time, the AIM was the more contemporary sound. Norm and I hung in through the change to dance music and accepted new positions. Not only was I still operating, but assisted Norm in production. Norm then started to write, and then I discovered that was another passion of his. Over the years, the visits to Norm's office became less and less, but still inspiring. He let me interview clips and gave me books on rock and roll greats such as Bill Haley and Bruce Springsteen. Norm was like a family member, and my mother enjoyed talking to him on the phone many times. Myself, Norm, and other friends such as Larry Smith and Doc Phillips spent many times at Lulu's Roadhouse and watching local groups jam like Crowbar and Downchild. Norm was able to get me some autographed pictures of Chubby Checker, Fats Domino, and shots of the Everly Brothers. He even let me go through his record collection in his office. Through Norm, I not only learned to treasure the music of the past, but to embrace the music of today. Norm's Golden Breakfast brings back a lot of memories. He did a lot of crazy things on the air, like rate the Sunshine Girl right out of the Toronto Sun. Special features, like the time capsule. He put the cleaning lady on the air while she was vacuuming, and broke over 12 coffee thermoses while doing the morning show.
We're going to play Buddy Holly and the Crickets and the original version of a song that the Stones did, and then we'll do the Stones and show you what they did to it.
You're listening to an actual air check of Norman B's first show on FM 108, May 1st, 1979.
That's Not Fade Away, and that's done by the Rolling Stones, 1964. And just before that, the original version by Buddy Holly and the Crickets. That's the shave and a haircut two bits rhythm. Okay, now we're a little rusty. Let me just figure out what button to push, and we will be ready.
My own true
long friendship. I was very fortunate to meet the three most important and influential people in Norm's private life. The most special person in his life, a lady who he shared a great deal of love and happy times with, was his wife Sharon. Another person who was probably a person that we should all thank, the lady that brought him into this world, his mother Olive. The other important lady in his life was his mother-in-law, Wanda.
My own true love.
Memories of the 50s and 60s. This is FM 108.
Norman B.
Hey, here's one you haven't heard in a while. I know that.
This should go on forever.
Bill Nagy reflects more of the times that he spent with Norman B.
Those oldies but goodies remind me of you.
I happened to win a record contest there and was down at the station to pick up my records one evening. Walked into the radio station and I could hear this ear-bleeding Dizzy Miss Lizzy by the Beatles at a pitch that would deafen anyone. And in the middle of all this was a DJ dancing around in the booth with a pile of records in his hand and records scattered all over the place, really enjoying himself. It was from that moment on that I knew I had met the kind of guy I would like to hang around with. We found out that we had grown up listening to basically the same music. Norman, he was into John R.
It was John Richburg. He was the first, and to my mind, the greatest disc jockey who ever broadcasted in North America in this century.
My time has come and gone, friend. It's 2:45 now. Time to say so long for this Saturday night. Look here, we'll be around here again Tuesday through Saturday, you know, laying down a good sound on programs then. Like to have you with me. Thanks for listening. Be careful out there on the highway now, will you? This is John R. way down south in Dixie. WLAC, the 1510 spot on the dial.
I found out as our friendship grew that there wasn't too much Norm didn't know. And I always said that if Norm didn't know it, it wasn't worth knowing. He could remember times, places, events. He had a multitude of hobbies besides his work at the radio. He was really into nature, plants. He was an avid bird watcher. And he followed the sports, especially boxing. Boxing was his favorite. He also knew all the stats on baseball players and hockey players. It seemed that whatever he got into, he really knew well. The music he really was in tune with and collected everything he could get his hands on was blues. And then, of course, rhythm and blues, doo-wop, and, of course, rock and roll. He collected music. He had records by the thousands. He could tell you who did what, when they did it, what label it was on, and probably what the temperature was that day in the city. I remember many occasions where we went together on interviews. Norm would interview Fats Domino, Willie Dixon, Big Joe Turner, Chuck Berry. I remember many, many occasions where we'd go to an interview, and some of the artists we had talked to before, and I would sort of walk in and start talking to the artist and ask him if he remembered me, and most occasions they didn't. But as soon as they saw Norm, they would remember him. He was the kind of interviewer who could ask a series of questions and get to points where most people wouldn't even touch. He would get inside the artist's mind. he could get information out of people that they couldn't get out of people on 60 Minutes. He could get those details and memories of who the artist listened to and what he was thinking at the time when he recorded the record or what he was trying to get across. On one occasion when we met Willie Dixon, I remember Willie saying to him, after Norm introduced himself, Willie said, "I've heard of you." He said, "A lot of my buddies, when they're up in Toronto, make sure they tune in this radio station that plays all this great blues, and this gentleman on air, this DJ, who seemed to know everything about the blues and knew the artists and really had a good feel for the music."
Here's a clip of Norman Bee's interview to Willie Dixon.
As you look, as you get your royalty statements of, you know, the money coming in on the different songs, what year by year is the biggest song for Willie Dixon?
Well, I don't know, because you see, all of them, I still get some royalties on some of them now, but I couldn't say which one was the biggest song, because what was big in one place wasn't as big in the other places, and then it goes around in a circle, and then some of them I had all the way around, you know.
Right.
I really couldn't tell at this time, because they're still selling a bunch of them.
What did you think when you heard the English groups with their versions of songs like Little Red Rooster?
Oh, I think they were beautiful, because they had a long time to work on them. Because when me and Memphis Slim first went to Europe, a lot of those fellows were little fellows, and they used to come around the back when we were working in Piccadilly Square, and we let them in to see us because they couldn't get in the front door. And they fell in love with the songs when they were young, you know. And I left a lot of them on tapes with various people, and they learned a lot of them while we was Memphis Slim and I was working over there. And they always said they would come back. They was going to do them wrong, but you know what you think of a bunch of kids telling you something. And then, showing up later, when they did start coming out, they came with my songs.
Right. You know, you certainly introduced a lot of things to the language. Tiger in Your Tank became pretty famous as a slogan for a guest. I think it was for Esso many years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Where'd you come up with that one, Willie?
Oh, well, you know, they used to use that phrase about tiger in your tank. Don't put a tiger in your tank. That's where I actually got the idea of the tiger in your tank.
Where do you pick up most of the song titles for your songs? From everyday expressions, or do you just write them all down on a list?
Oh, well, you see, as you go around various places, you think about different things, and then people say a lot of different things that they never think of anymore, you know? And then you find out that since the blues are the true facts of life expressed in song, you can take the life-like things and the life expression and put words to them that means something about the facts of life and create a song.
You know,
so long as there's life, there's always a chance to create and do and more songs.
You know, I think one of the greatest titles I ever heard was the Bo Diddley song, "You Can't Judge a Book by the Cover."
Look at that cover. Well, yes, that's one of the phrases that people have used all the way around the world in different languages. You know, I have a lot of other songs that's made out of cliches like that. You know, in fact, I have one song in particular made out of cliches called Good Advice. I don't know if you ever heard it.
Well, I heard Coco Taylor's advice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Good advice. And
yeah.
And of course, Seventh Son.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Seventh Son, that's been an old biblical thing they talked about in the Bible years ago, and then a lot of people that believe in the future before it comes to pass and all this kind of stuff and things about it. Tell their fortunes and all these things. Well, naturally, people go different places trying to get people to tell them something, and they think they're getting to wiser people. And those that believe it, I guess there's something to it.
I'm the one, the one they call the seventh son. Norm, Norm really respected his listeners, too. He never talked down to them. He always believed that the people who listened to him were very intelligent. He generally understood that there were people out there who were really hungry for this kind of music and the little tidbits of information that he would dart in between each and every record.
Spent time in Toronto on the air at the Foster Hewitt radio station, CKFH. King Curtis dropped by. Norman interviewed blues boogie legend Roosevelt Sykes. And he met great stars, great soul performers like Percy Sledge and Otis Redding. Where It's At was a great show on CKFH.
Well, hello there. This is Precious Sledge, and baby, I want you to help me because I'm coming clean out of left field. Right here on the Where's That Show, right here on CKFH. Sock it to him, man.
Norman B's favorite announcers, people like Dick Biondi and John R. Now we're going to hear more of those rock and roll radio pioneers.
Reminder from the hound to tell all you cats to play careful on the streets. And remember, play it so neat, play it straight. In the meanwhile, the Miss Fine, who stands down the line, hound says, later for you, honey. Oh, later.
Die.
The late, great Buddy Holly and the Wolfman Jack Show.
Hello, everybody. How are y'all tonight? This is Alan Freed, the old King of the Moondoggers, and it's time again for another of your favorite rock and roll sessions, blues and rhythm records for all the gang in the Moondog Kingdom from the Midwest to the East Coast. We're going to be saying hello to a lot of folks who've written to us tonight from all over the Moondog Kingdom, to all around the Cleveland area, Newark, New Jersey, New York City, Long Island, wherever you are, the Moondog Show!
This is Hunter Hancock, old HH, getting ready to do a little hunting around.
And now, here is little Sonny Warner with Big J. McNeely and his band singing the record that became a smash hit overnight. There is something on your mind.
There is something on your mind. By the way you look at me.
This is Otis Redding. You're digging Norman B. That's where it's at. CKFH, Toronto, Canada.
These arms are mine. They are lonely. Lonely and feeling blue. These arms are mine.
Norman B. talked to many people on the phone while he was on the air. He talked to people like Fats Domino. We'll be hearing that shortly. But now let's hear Norman talk to Freddie Cannon.
On the line we have Boom Boom. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Norman?
Hey, not bad. It's Freddie Cannon.
Guess what?
What?
Got a lot of snow down here. You got any snow up there?
Well, we got a bit last night, but then it turned into rain. Now it's all frozen. But no, we don't get snow around here.
We got quite a bit down here in Barrie, but this is my last night down here. You know what I was thinking of? We talked about almost everything, and I know you got a lot of listeners out there. We've recorded and done a lot of things in the last few days, and I've got to know you better, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, you know, if Norman B. would write a book, we talked about people writing rock and roll, trivia, and all this type of books. I think if you wrote a book, you'd probably most have the most successful book of all. You've got enough knowledge in you, boy, for the whole world.
Gee, that's...
No, it's true. I think it would be good.
Well, that's very nice of you to say.
To think about, you know what I mean? In the future, I think if other disc jockeys who, you know, Norman Knight, who has that book, is a disc jockey, if he can write one, I don't see why you couldn't, you know, as much as he does.
Well, people have told me I should, but, well, we won't get it. Well, thank you.
I just thought I'd say that, and I think that, you know, and I know you got a lot of listeners, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot and get you tied for words, but I think you're a heck of a nice guy, and, you know, everything you're talking about is true. There's no, if anybody listens to you about you, I'm going to put the stamp of approval on you, because it's true what you say about almost every act. You've got all the background on everybody.
I need your tender lips to hold me. Tell me when I'm around,
something here. Fats, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you?
Just fine, Norman.
I just was playing a bunch of your records, and I thought I'd give you a call and see if you were home.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you called, because I spoke to you. I wanted to speak to you before.
I love to hear you talk. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to break your heart. But if I ask you for a date, will you tell me that I'm not too late? I'm on a
Father, stop criticizing your son.
Earlier we mentioned some of the stars that Norman B. had met and interviewed. Other stars he watched perform, like Buddy Holly and Jackie Wilson. Other stars that he spent time with, like Roy Orbison, Del Shannon, the Righteous Brothers, the Everly Brothers, and the late John Lennon.
The last year of Norm's life was kind of a coming together. The stress and strains of the radio life, the health problems in the family, the little tragedies and major tragedies at home and around the house started to take their toll on Norm. Norm decided, though, that he was going to pull together all these memories and was in the midst of getting the tapes and all the interviews together and was, as most of us had been saying, started to write a book. We're blessed to really have known him. We were fortunate to have been able to hear him on the radio. He touched all of our lives, and we will never forget him.
With his passing, Sharon, his wife, said that Norm regarded me as a son. I will try to carry on a legacy, and the listeners and the fans out there will never forget Norman B.
Noted, though, that Norm burned himself out doing the things he loved to do. And if they ever decide they're going to start a rock and roll DJ Hall of Fame with the likes of John R., The Hound, Alan Freed, Wolfman Jack, I know they'll want to include Canada's finest, Norman B.
Thank you. Do what you want. Take what you do.
That's what life's all about.
So long. Don't know where I'm going, but so long. This time, I'm going to stay.
At this time, I would like to express my sincere thanks on behalf of myself and the Blakely family to the management and staff of Energy 108 for their time and effort in putting this tribute together. I'm sure they're breaking regular format to capture the essence of this illustrious career is gratefully appreciated by Norm's many friends, fans, and listeners.
Farmington, Stereo 108
CBS. Energy 108, the dance music station.
So hot energy.
Ooh, yeah,
we're coming
yeah.
on strong, and we are she.
Oh.